Pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon us, draw near to us, filling our hearts, filling the words of my mouth with the message that you would have for us this morning, that it would glorify Abba and be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. So how's that going for you? I mean, really? Loving your enemies, responding with goodness to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, and praying for those who abuse you. Boy, talk about going counter-cultural, counter the world's ways. The word enemy, it was struck, and Jesus using the word enemy is a strong word, isn't it? And so I began to look at some of the biblical meanings of the word enemy. And it encompasses a wide range of meanings, from personal adversaries to spiritual forces opposed to God in God's name. In Hebrew, the word enemy literally means one who hates. One who hates, and no wonder, responding with goodness to those who hate you, Jesus says. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it means adversary or opponent, one who opposes our values, our thinking, what we see as important. And I think for most of us, at least it is for me, it's easier to relate to the words of adversary and opponent than to the word enemy. So how about this for a modern day translation? Love your adversaries and do good to those who oppose you. And so as I say that, as I was writing these words this past week, I began to wonder, who comes to mind for you when I ask, who do you see as your adversaries or opponents in life? A neighbor or a family member who speaks unkindly of you? A boss or colleague who tries to manipulate or belittle you? And oh my goodness, how about a pastor? Or a politician? Now we're getting down to it, aren't we? The pastor and politician, whose theological and political views are polar opposite to ours. That's been happening for decades, for centuries, not just in the present moment. So then I looked at the word bless, that in the Hebrew, barak, means God's intention. And so when we bless one another in Jesus' name, we are praying for the fullness of God's intentions to be released into a person's life, into a particular need or situation. And God has promised to do exactly that. We're familiar with the words in Numbers 6. It's Aaron's priestly blessing. These are words that God has given to Moses to give to his son Aaron and how to bless the people of Israel. Say them with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is really good, isn't it? I remember when I first heard those words, I was a young teenager in the Methodist Church back in Ohio, and we would gather at the end of the MYF gatherings, and we would hold hands like this in a circle. And oh my, I had a real fondness for Barbara. And this was kind of the highlight of the youth fellowship. I would always be able to find my way to get right next to her and hold her hand. It didn't get much better than that back then anyway. But the word bless. God, Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Bless those who speak poorly of you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Boy, it doesn't get any more amazing than in the story from the Old Testament of Joseph, does it? Here is a boy that was cast out, now a man. And those that did the casting out, that betrayed him, that cursed him, if you will, by rejecting him, those were his brothers. There's a famine in the land. It's been going on for several years, and it's going to go for a total of seven years. And so Joseph's brother is, and their family are running out of food. So the father sends the brothers to get food. Joseph recognizes them. Somehow they don't recognize Joseph. He has been erased so much from their lives. And that's what cursing, part of the consequence of cursing. Cursing erases the other in our lives. When we belittle, when we speak poorly of, when we judge and criticize, and aren't we so apt to do that in our human tendency? You know, it erases the other and the value that God places on the other. And so I don't want to dwell here too long, but here's the setting in that the brothers are there. They get food, they go back home, they come back again. And Joseph can't contain his emotions any longer. He blesses his brothers, those that had great ill intent upon him. He hugs them, he weeps over them, he blesses them when he had every reason to do just the opposite. And Joseph realizes, did you catch when Cole was reading that God has sent me? God sent me here. It was through your actions that weren't so good. But God sent me to Egypt so that many lives would be spared. Blessings, when you and I speak blessings upon each other in Jesus' name, it's always life-giving. And so here's the promise. You did pretty well with verses 22 through 26. What about verse 27? God is still giving Moses instructions for how Aaron is to bless the Israelites. This, my friends, is an example of how the word continues to live and unfolding and reveal new meaning to us. Verse 27, so they shall put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This is God saying, as you bless the Israelites in my name, I will bless them. And I believe with as much of my heart as I possibly can that today this would translate into, as you and I bless one another in Jesus' name, God will bless them. And so do you hear the promise? Do you hear God's promise in these words, as you and I bless one another in Jesus' name? God has promised to release more goodness and grace, more love and mercy into our lives. And oh my goodness, do we not need more and more and more of God's goodness and grace and love and mercy in our lives. So in 1 Peter, well, first Jesus gives us instructions, right, that we are to bless those who curse us. And in 1 Peter, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9, it says, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse. Rather, repay with a, you got to say it or else we're going to be here longer than you want to be here. Repay with a blessing. There it is. Repay with a blessing. So, and then it says, for this, you are called. In other words, you and I, we are called to be a people of blessing. And then it gets even better. There's a hyphen that says, as you and I bless one another in Jesus' name, Scripture says that you and I will receive a blessing. Whoa, that's pretty good, isn't it? That we will receive a blessing. It's a good woe, isn't it, Chris? And so, in other words, God calls us to be a people of blessing. We are called to bless as part of our discipleship. And I think the Lord is waking us up to this truth, because the church needs it so much. Our families need it so much. Our places of business, our communities, our nation, the world needs more and more of God's goodness and grace. And it's not for just those that we love, and here it comes. It's also for those that we sense are opposed. They are our adversaries in life. And I think that's where the transformation so much happens, when we are willing to say yes to be a people who bless one another, even when there's kind of polar opposites in our theological and our political views. It's not just in the politics, is it? It's in the church. And then it's becoming more and more apparent. You know, the lines are being drawn. And I would share with you again what I've said before. God is a God who does not draw lines. God is a God who erases the lines that we draw in our humanness. That's part of what God does. It curses, erase the person, the other. Blessings erases the lines that separate us. Does that make sense? What's that? And so I want to give an example. It's a recent story, and it's a family up in North Dakota. Sarah is a very godly woman, married, 4 children, 2 of them are adopted. The youngest, 28, he's the prodigal son. And he's been gallivanting around in alcohol, in jail, in and out, the child out of wedlock. I mean, he's lost. And mother has been praying, and dad have been praying for years that he would find himself, that he would kind of wake up, that his life is more a life of cursing, if you will, by continuing to say no to God's love. And God so much desires blessing. Remember God's promise. As you and I bless one another in Jesus' name, God's promise to release more goodness and grace, love and mercy. The word bless in the Hebrew literally means God's intentions. So when we bless one another, we are seeking the fullness of God's intentions. And so Sarah began to understand some of the meaning of blessing and of being called to bless. And she decided she was going to start blessing her 28-year-old prodigal son. And this was just about a month and a half ago. And so she said as she began to bless, it just felt better. It felt right. She said, I realized I was praying my intentions for my son, which were pretty good. But she said, blessing prayers freed me to pray God's intentions, the fullness of God's intentions. And so here's what happened. She said within just a matter of weeks, her son calls and says, Mom, are you ready to go to church? She had never heard that in 28 years. Never had heard that. And they weren't going to go to church that morning, she said, she and her husband. And so they got their act together real quickly and said, Caleb, we'll meet you at church. And a number of his friends he had invited. Can you imagine the prodigal son who had been feeding at the pig trough, literally, with alcohol and all sorts of stuff? And so it was a pretty remarkable Sunday. She could see the transformation beginning to happen because God's goodness and grace, love and mercy, you know, it takes a while, doesn't it? For some of us, I think probably for most of us, to move more into that, to be who God has created us to be. And then she said, 2 weeks later, he calls and said, Mom, would you remind me what time church starts? And so they go to church. Caleb brings his girlfriend. So it's getting even better now, isn't it? And there, you know, the presence of God, the message of God's love, I guess, was just so strong that all of a sudden the girlfriend, she's up at the altar rail and she is sobbing. they have an altar call in their tradition. And she is sobbing. The next thing, her son Caleb is up at the altar rail, kneeling and bowing before the Lord, surrendering to the Lord's love and forgiveness and mercy. Whereas just weeks ago, he was in a completely different place. God wasn't even on the radar. And Sarah said the only difference in that two-week period of her prayers, she began to speak blessings upon her son. This is the transformative power of blessing. And we are called to bless, but God is the one who releases the goodness and the grace and the love and mercy. And then so here, ending the story, fast forward another 2 weeks later, Caleb and his three-year-old daughter are at the family home having a meal, and he says, Mom, ask Charlotte, ask her about Jesus, ask her to tell you about Jesus. And she starts telling her grandma about Jesus, and she looked at him and says, Caleb, what's going on? He said, well, I remember that childhood Bible you gave me when I was really young. So I went through all my boxes and I found it and I started reading the Bible to my daughter. You see why it's so important for us to say yes to being a people who are called to bless, whether it's in our homes, in our places of work, in our church, in our schools, wherever it may be, in our nation. So, blessing those we love and those we do not love. So again, how are you doing with that? It isn't easy. It's a great challenge. I would describe my own efforts to love my adversaries as pretty abysmal and ineffective for most of my life. But I've begun, I have begun to realize that God does keep his promise to release more and more of his goodness and grace whenever we bless and pray for one another in Jesus' name. And I began to understand without a shred of doubt, without an ounce of uncertainty, that we are called, you and I, the people of God, we are called to bless one another as disciples of Jesus. And I would say it's not hard. It may feel a little awkward at first. But let me, for example, Jesus, in your name, I bless everyone that is gathered here this morning. In your name, Jesus. And all of you in pretty white and red attire, I bless you with more and more of God's love, pouring directly from Abba's heart into your hearts. I bless you with the peace that passes all understanding to be with you 24/7 in the midst of whatever that you are going to be facing this coming week. I bless you with the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit that renews and restores. And oh my goodness, I bless you with the fullness of God's intentions for your life this week and for weeks to come. Amen?
Amen.
See, once you start doing it, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit kicks in and gives us words. But I'm not done yet, okay? So stay awake. Kerry Kirkwood, in his book, Power of Blessing, he wrote this about the difficulty it is in loving our adversaries and our opponents. He says, don't get caught up in the hostility and polarization that is happening in our society, where we cannot communicate with people because they don't have the same affiliation we do. That is exactly what Satan wants, division and polarization. So, in this one sentence, blessing breaches division and injects the Spirit of Christ into the situation. Blessings. Your words of blessing in Jesus' name literally breaches the divisions that separate us, whatever they are, and injects the Spirit of Christ into the situation. For me, when I looked at where do we start? Where do we start with this ministry of blessing that we are called to especially for our enemies. For me, it began by living out verse 7 in the psalm from this morning. Familiar verse, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Quiet ourselves into the Lord's presence and listen for direction from the Holy Spirit and asking Jesus for his help. And very simple, very practical. Here's the help that I asked for. To awaken me to where I needed to change before I did anything else. Blessing ministry always begins right here with us. Not you, but with ourselves. To reveal to me where I was not loving my neighbor as myself. And I want to tell you, that didn't take very long. Then I began to ask the Lord to give us hearts to love our enemies through blessings of kindness and prayer, to give us words of blessing to pray, prayers that seek the fullness of God's intentions for all of God's people. Today, as more and more people are saying yes to God's call to bless, I am seeing significant changes wherever those blessings are being said in the lives of God's people, relationships being healed, individuals being drawn closer to God, prodigal sons and daughters returning home, lines in the sand, lines that separate and divide us are being erased. For you see, God is keeping his promise to release more and more of his goodness and grace, more of his love and mercy, whenever we bless one another in Jesus' name. May it be so for each of us. Amen.